To God. Sails are battered. Oh, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn, I am falling on my knees as I face. Sing the anchor holds one more time. The anchor holds. Oh, it holds within my soul. Though the sea is bad, oh, it's deep inside of me. The anchor holds. Though the ship. Grace, hallelujah. Do you know grace? Amazing grace. Have you heard how sweet the sound? How sweet the sound? Where you are, and I'll ask you, do you know? Oh, do you know grace? Do you know grace? Oh, it's amazing grace. Amazing grace. Have you heard how sweet the sound? How sweet the sound. There are many dangers, toils and snares. Already come. Look where you came from and where you are, and I'll ask you, do you know grace? Amen. On Wednesday, I couldn't even talk. Hallelujah! I can sing. I had such a pain. My tonsils were so big, there was a pain going. It was like there was a pin stuck through my head. But praise God. I was even thinking, you know, we prayed on, Brother Max said, Brother George will be better after the service. I went to the doctor the next day. I said, hey, this thing could linger through Christmas. You know, what about the Christmas turkey? I won't be okay. So I went to the doctor. She said, hey, I can't see anything wrong with you. You heal. She didn't say you heal. She said, there's nothing wrong with you. Your tonsils are normal. There's no red. I said, yeah, but you know, at night, the pain, you know. So she says, look, here's a prescription. You can use it if you want. But please, because of your tablets and this, says, try not to. But I'm healed. Amen. That's grace. So when I'm singing of what he's doing for me. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that he has done great things. Hallelujah. He has done great things. Hallelujah, he has done great things. Thank you, Jesus, he has done great things. Blessed is his holy name. He has done great things for us. He has done great things. Thank you, Jesus. Came from and we are. just draw me closer. Oh, Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, closer, Lord, to you. My desire to worship and obey. This is my desire tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, this is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship. Touch your people once again, oh, with your precious holy hands. We pray your kingdom shine upon this earth. You are living glorious church. In power, let your mighty rushing wind blow in. Oh, touch your paper once again. Oh, we need wisdom. Power, true love for each other. We have had so many big and empty words. So we come before your face, asking for your grace. Take your people to a state of fruitful life. Restore your church again. Oh, touch your people. Touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hands. With served through a living, glorious church. Whoa, not for temporary needs, oh, but to restore authority. Your mighty rushing wind blowing. Oh, touch your people once again.
Now the La Fontaines, they sing that song, they say, Lord, I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. And if you'll give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. The song is saying, touch your people once again. I'm sure every one of us is here this evening because yesterday's manna was yesterday. We need something fresh today. So we're so glad that Brother Tom's here. Brother Sam, son, we're so glad that they've come down. May the Lord have prayer minutes. To those who don't know Brother Tommy McKinstry, he's from Northern Ireland, just back from a tour to Australia and New Zealand. He's been in Africa many, many times. He knows African people. He feels at home among African people. So, and we just want him really to take his liberty, and may the Lord's will be done. Brother Tom.
God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Isn't the Lord so good? You know, the Lord bless each and every one, and I do greet every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. I just want to thank the pastor, Brother Andrew. May the Lord bless you, brother, for this invitation. And it's always good to come to Dublin. I love the worship, the praise. The only one problem with it, brother, is it gets me thinking about going to Africa. And you know, I really love when I went to Africa, and I try not to think about it because I would go again very quick. And I do believe the Lord will take us again, praise God, you know. You know, me and Brother Sam were saying on the way down the night, you know, I said, Sam, I'm sure glad we're not going to a pub tonight. I'm glad we're saved. We're going to the house of the Lord. We're going to worship the Lord, praise the Lord, and whatever the Lord has for us. And you know, when I served the devil, I served him well. And we didn't really care about getting home or not. We didn't worry about that. You know, people today are so restricted with their, you know, even in my own church, I find that people, you know, some's late to come in there, but they're quick to get out. But we ought to have time for the things of God. And, you know, we should feast on the Word of God, feast on the presence of the Lord. And, you know, when I was in the world, we would go out. We didn't come home a lot of nights. We did whatever we did. It's, you know, just whatever we did in sin with the devil. And I'm so glad that I'm serving the Lord. And I wouldn't change it for anything. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Let me just pray, and then I wanted to share with you briefly the last trip, and then we have a little something I want to bring tonight, what I really felt in my heart strong today. And I believe it will encourage you at this time. You know, the two sermons I've been thinking about when we get to this time of the year, and one is God's wrapped gift. And the other one's Little Bethlehem. Amen. And I believe them's two wonderful services, sermons. And you know, the devil's hijacked Christmas. Yes. And the world's hijacked Christmas. But Christmas is really all about God's wrapped gift. Yes. Yes. Little Jehovah laying in the manger. God's wrapped gift. And that's really what it's all about. And we, you know, it's nice to have presents and everything, and But the real present and the greatest gift was God's Son. And that's why we're here tonight. That's why we're not out in the world. And we just thank the Lord for it. And I believe that God's prophet that God sent really pointed us to that, back to the Word, back to Christ, to the real gospel. See, I believe the message is the real original gospel. I don't believe there's a difference. I believe the message is the real original gospel. And the real gospel is a message. And I'm not talking about what's on, you know, out in some places. I'm talking about the real thing, you know, what the Lord's brought and what the Lord's done. That's the real thing. What back to the real truth of God, what we have today. Praise God. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you that we can come from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence by the new and living way. Amen. Through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, I pray sincerely tonight that you will close us in with your presence. Amen. And may the fire of the Lord be about this very building. Amen. And may the angels of the Lord be near. Amen. And Father, we know that your word says we are encompassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Amen. And Father, we believe it tonight, and I just pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you'll touch people tonight, people that need your touch. Amen. Lord, that while your word spoke, that you'll heal people and deliver people, set people free, and wherever this would go, that you'll touch hearts and lives. And God, that deliverance will take place, and that you'll honor your own word and confirm your own word. In Jesus' precious name, and help me, Lord, to speak the things you'd want me to speak at this time. And may the Holy Spirit take this vessel over, Lord, as I submit to you completely tonight. I yield myself to the Holy Spirit and to the moving of the Spirit of the Lord. And I pray, Lord, that like your prophet prayed many times, that you would fill every fiber of this being. Oh God, with your Holy Spirit, how we need you. Amen. How we need you. Lord, as a brother said, what we had yesterday, we praise you for it. But Lord, we need you again today, tonight, here. Amen. We need your presence. We need your touch. We need the manifestation of your glory. Amen. And oh God, that you'll open your word to us and feed us on the finest of the wheat tonight and bring to the remembrance all you'd want us to testify to what you've done, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Touch Keith Anderson tonight. Father, I pray you'll heal him and touch him. Amen. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. And amen. For others it's been mentioned that you'll touch them, Lord, and amen. Heal them, Lord Jesus. And Father, that we'll just hear a good report, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, we ask these things. Now, Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit by faith, and I thank you, undertake for me. In Jesus' precious name, amen. 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 Praise God. You know, Brother Branham made a simple statement when he said, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. Amen. And he said, let your testimony be positive. It's easy to have a testimony that's not positive. It takes no faith with that type of a testimony. But God wants you to have a testimony that's positive. And I was encouraged tonight when Brother George, the different testimonies he shared already when we were outside. And you know, even for a job, if you've applied for a job, be positive. Amen. That God's got someone for you. And if that job doesn't come up, he's got a better one. Yes. Keep it positive. Yes. And if you've been prayed for and it seems to be no different, keep your testimony positive before the Lord. Keep believing. Amen. Keep holding on to the Lord. Amen. Because Mark 16 can't fail. Amen. When hands is laid upon you, yes. You know, Brother Branham preached a message called the trial. Amen. And he showed us, you know, he didn't say it would happen right away, but he said it would happen. Yes. He didn't say what time, but he said it would happen. Yes. And God always keeps his promises, and God always watches over his word. And you know, when you go into the book of Hebrews, and it says that he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Now that means that God was, he bound himself. Yes. till his own word. He's bound to it. He cannot deny it. He has to keep it. He's bound to it. It's a legal requirement that's been done with God on his own word, and he has to keep it. But we must believe it. And you know that I said many times this time when I traveled, you know that many times as believers we have to repent of unbelief. And the prophet said, smoking and drinking is not sin. That's the fruit of sin. But sin is unbelief. To disbelieve God. To disbelieve the word of God. To have a negative testimony. We need to ask God to forgive us and pray the Lord will help us to be positive. Amen. That we'll say the right thing. That we'll not miss an occasion to reach somebody, to speak, praise God.
Amen.
Well, you know, I just thank the Lord for, you know, I'm you know, and nobody really, you know, God's coming, you know, the world, you see, really, the bride's not going to be many people. And, you know, as far as the church world goes, we're just nobodies. But God's coming for them nobodies. Because they're somebodies. Amen? And, you know, one of these days, you know, they say, you know, we're the Arnotts. We're just nobody. But we'll soon be gone. You know, because the Lord's going to take us. You know, he's called us out. He's called us in. And he's going to call us up. And we're waiting for that next step into another dimension.
Amen.
And you know, I was saying to the brother coming down that your loved ones is very close.
Yeah.
Brother Branham said they're near. Don't call them because they're near.
Yeah.
You could call them, but he said don't do it.
Yeah.
It's just a realm. It's not through the skies. It's just a realm.
Yeah.
It's a step into another dimension.
Yeah.
And you know, God's prophet could travel into that dimension and come back. And I really think that we don't understand that, really. Many of us. It's hard to comprehend it. But he was able to do it. I can't explain it myself. But he could do that. You know, when the man's son died and he wouldn't bury him till he saw Brother Branham. And Brother Branham said, I'll search for him. And he says he searched for him. Now, he didn't search for him in the building. It was another dimension. And he says, I found him in the presence of that light. If he was my son, I'd leave him there. I'd leave him right there. And the brother said, that's good enough for me. Because he believed. And the Bible says, if you believe my prophets, so shall you prosper. So there's one step. If you're looking God to prosper in you this new year and you fall under that, you're going to prosper. God can't break that word. That's still the word of God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
But you know, I traveled out till Australia and to Adelaide. And you know, if anyone here has ever been to Australia, it's a long trip. It's a long flight. And you know, when I was just a young man, I received a prophecy that I would go to the furthest ends of the earth. To preach. And the prophecy said the preaching will be plain and powerful. And signs and wonders will follow it. That's what the prophecy said. The farthest ends of the earth is New Zealand. You cannot go any further from here. That's as far as you can go. As far as traveling anywhere else is shorter. And it also said in that prophecy the darkest continents of Africa and Asia. And it said you'll see thousands come. And you know, when I first met the different brothers, you know, in England, and you have to understand, in England then was not like England now because the churches were so small. You know, a bit like in Ireland, you know, up north the churches are small. They're not big churches. And England was the same. Before a lot of the people moved over, the churches were small. So the pastor said, how can you see thousands come? Where will they come from? But God said, Africa. And you people know in Africa you can have church and many people can get baptized after just a few services. It's possible because God just seems to be working in Africa. And you know, Brother Branham said the last one might be a little black boy somewhere. And he said that God, he prayed. He said, God, that you'd raise up young men to sweep this message onto the coming of the Lord. and try and reach that last one. So my whole focus, which I, you know, that's for me, that's what it is, to try and reach that last one. And you know, the Lord really dealt with me a couple of years ago and told me to stay in that, not to try and be something that He hasn't called me to be. And so I try and stay in that. And you know, sometimes you misunderstand, but you people that know me know, you know how the Lord works like that. And I believe in teachers, and I believe in the fivefold ministry. We need all of everything. Everything God's give us, we need it. Every gift, every preacher, prophets, apostles, evangelists, teachers, pastors, everything. And Brother Branham said, God never takes away, He adds to. Yes. Praise God. But you know, I had the opportunity to go, and I went to Adelaide, and we had four services in Adelaide at Brother Freeborn's fellowship, Brian Freeborn. And you know, some people came and got saved. And the it's not a massive church. And people came, people made decisions. And they came out for the Lord, for salvation. They prayed the sinner's prayer. And people were prayed for that was, you know, were sick. And after I'd left, a brother contacted me and he said, there's people testified that the Lord's healed them. Amen. And then we went from there to Brother Queasy's. I'm sure some people here maybe know Brother Queasy. Brother Queasy, anyone here know Brother Queasy? He baptized Sammy. But you know, Brother Queasy's quite something, really, you know, because Brother Queasy, when he was just a younger man with Brother, he was over in Kennedy, married his wife, Brother Biscoe, married him and his wife. He came to Scotland, to Aberdeen, there was no church. And he went round the houses, he witnessed to Brother Sammy, the different people up there. And the next thing, they had about 70 people. And that was Brother Queasy. And he baptized him, and then he felt the call to go to Australia. He went to church in Australia. And I don't want to go into the background, you know, because it's recorded, but the Lord used him there as well. And he's quite a big church over in Melbourne, in Australia. So I got to go over and preach for Brother Queasy night. And there must have been close to 100 people on a Wednesday night. And about 5-6 people more responded for Christ, for salvation. And you know, when they know, you know, certain places, you know you're coming, evangelistic ministry, they try and bring people in. And then I went from Melbourne till New Zealand, to Gisborne, to Brother Howard Searles. You all know Brother Searle. And we had 3 services there in the church. And the church is not big, but on the last night, people from another church came, and more people came to the Lord. More people responded. Then on the Monday night, we had a little house service. And it was really nice, you know. And so that was about 4 services in Adelaide, a service in Melbourne, 4 services in Gisborne. So, you know, there's about every church, roughly, there's about 5 people that made decisions, roughly, you know, Amen. For to come to the Lord. And people were prayed for, and people testified the Lord had healed them. And then me and Brother Howard, we travel up till, I think it's New Island. It's up in Stratford, a place called Stratford. And for me, it was really at home because it's a lot like Ireland here. Green fields, lots of cattle, you know, like a farming background. A really beautiful place. Mount Eggbloom's up there. If you go on the internet, you'll see Mount Eggbloom. There's always snow on the top up there in New Zealand. And a wonderful, wonderful up there, you know. And there's a young brother up there, Alray, I think it's Johnson, he's from South Africa. Brother Alray is his first name anyway. And I'm saying a young brother. He's younger than me, so he's really young brother. You know, it's strange for me to say, you know, there's a fellow preaching younger than myself, because I used to be the boy preacher. You know, the years is going. But, you know, we had a real blessed time up there. Brother Alray had just come back from a minister's convention over it's a part of Australia, it's way out. I can't just remember the name of it. There's a lot of people there from the Philippines, a lot of people from Singapore. Minister's Brother Connor was there, and he just came back from there. And so I preached during the Wednesday night, and I preached during the Thursday night, and the Lord really moved in the services. And God actually touched that brother's wife. She came forward for prayer, and the power of the Lord just come right over, and God really touched her and did something for her. And there was decisions there as well. And people came forward, young people, to receive Christ as a Savior. And people came for prayer. And we had two services there, and then I moved on up to till Auckland. And I was to preach on Friday night, Saturday night, for Brother Freddie Esau. I'm sure some of you have heard Brother Freddie Esau. He's originally from South Africa. He's preached a lot in Zimbabwe years ago. He's like a missionary right in the outbacks in Zimbabwe years ago. Him and his son moved to New Zealand. They have a church there. But the church was being renovated, so we couldn't have service. So I preached the two services on Sunday for Derek Donaldson. And if you don't know Derek Donaldson, Derek Donaldson's like really friendly with Brother Biscoe. And Brother Biscoe used to go there a lot years ago. And Derek Donaldson was really used of the Lord into India and the Philippines and different countries like that. He really took the message out, did a lot like that. He's an old, I'm not going to say an old man, because hey, brother, you want to see this fella. He's almost 80 years of age, but you want to see him preaching and excited about the Word of God, excited about the things of God. I told his daughter, I can't believe it. She says, brother, you want to see him? He can hardly get up the stairs to church. But once he gets up there, he's like a young fella. And he gets to preaching and he gets excited, you know. And but it's really something, you know, to be with him, because he's just, you know, he's full of energy. And he's almost 80 years old and he's on fire. But this man's secret, I'll tell you a secret, he prays all the time. Brother Ron Borthwick was with him once, and they're away somewhere, and Brother Ron says that he woke out of it in the early hours of the morning, and Derek had his two hands up praying in the middle of the night, and Ron says he prayed all night. All night. That's Derek Donaldson. Now, Derek Donaldson told me some wonderful testimonies. We had, you know, really two good services there. And there's an older sister, she came, she had no feeling in her feet. She had diabetes, different things, she had no feeling in her feet. When she got to the back door, God had already healed her. By the time she got to the back door, God healed her. And more people there came to the Lord. More people there came for healing and for a touch from the Lord. And there was already testimonies right in the service that people were healed. See, God can't fail. But you know, Derek Johnson told me something that really blessed me, because I have a boy at almost 18 now. Some of you have children. And he told me his son came to him when he was 17. And like, Derek's a man that's preached everywhere, you know, and he's well known. And his son comes and he says, Dad, look, I'm not coming back to church. It's boring. And I've had enough of it. I'm not coming back to it. And Derek didn't sit him down and quote him scriptures and quote him the message. He didn't do that. He said, thanks, son, for letting me know. That's all he said. Thanks, son, for letting me know. And off his son went, stopped coming to church. But every night, his daughter told me, every night, Dad disappeared at about 9, 10 o'clock, disappeared. And he never came back to 1 o'clock. And he told me he walked the roads praying for his son. And he told me, he said he wrestled. He told the devil, you're not getting him. You are not getting him. I'm claiming him under the token. You're not getting him. You think you have him, but I'm claiming him. And this went on for weeks, for months, for a long time. But his son's called Andrew. Now, brothers, he just doesn't preach. He runs over the church preaching now. He's a real preacher. God not only saved him, but he called him into the ministry, and he's a preacher. And the people there is telling me they're so excited the way he's preaching. You can tell even in the service. And he says, brother, he says, I spend about 5 hours every day praying and waiting on the Lord. This is a son. I tell you what, when you do, you know, Brother Branham said, when God's people fall and lay before God, God's obligated to move. You know, when you go to, people say, but we hear God moving in Africa and he's not moving in other places. But you see, you brothers from Africa know when things was difficult, people would lay before God. All-night prayer meetings was regular. When that was there, God was moving. When that stops, the move stops. Yes, Amen?
Amen.
But when we get hungry for God, God moves. And you know, people, you know, Brother Branham's own ministry, so wonderful, and we take it so for granted. But what about when he says, you know, when he was up at the electric, he says, I haven't eaten for days. I've been fasting. When I do a prayer line, I don't eat for days. Fasting, waiting upon God. So that he would know that everything's just right when he goes to pray for the people. And God will move. You see, we need more of that. That's our example. And Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days. Now, I'm not saying we don't need to do that. Brother Branham says fast a day. But I believe we need to be hungry for the things of the Lord. But you know, we had wonderful services, and I just thank you for your prayers and your support. And I just thank the Lord. And you know, one time somebody said to me, you know, but how do you know they'll all follow on with the Lord? How do you know they're all saved? I don't. But I'll tell you this, if one of them makes it, just one out of, say, about 30, it's worth it.
Yes.
It's worth it. If one makes it, it's worth it. Yes. Praise God. Let us stand while we read just from Romans. Praise God. I might preach a little bit now. Is that all right?
Yes.
I won't hold you as long. No more than 3 hours. I'm just joking. You know, brethren, you just think of it. Imagine you were just like a night like this and Paul's preaching. And he preached all night. How's a bit of service like that? I know I often said we don't need long sermons, but Paul preached all night.
Amen.
He was a man with revelation.
Amen.
Real revelation produces stimulation.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And one fella fell out of the windy dead and he went down and raised him from the dead. Power of God was there.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Verse 24 of Romans 3. Being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You remember, see that we know that God will bless his own word. Praise God.
Amen.
I want to read also from chapter 8 of Romans, verse 1 and verse 38 and 39. Chapter 8 of Romans, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which in Christ Jesus our Lord. Chapter 12, verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Now I want to preach tonight, and just for a moment I will try to go as easy as I can. I get excited, I can't help it. I shout and everything, I can't help it. I try my best. You know, I go home some Wednesday nights, I say, I don't even bring notes some night, and I say, I won't preach tonight. And in 5 minutes I'm preaching. I can't really help it, but I'll just try and go easy tonight. Praise God. You just pray first, but that the Lord will just give you something. You in Christ and Christ in you. So you and Christ in you. That's the secret.
Amen.
You need to be in Christ and Christ needs to be in you.
Yes.
Now the definition of being in Christ, to be in Christ is to be made partaker.
Amen.
Have all the privileges. If you're a partaker, you have all the privileges. Of all the benefits that are in him by reason of the union with him. So when you're in him and he's in you, that's a union. Let me just read you what a union means. A member of a union is in the union because he's part of the union when he joins.
Amen.
Now you didn't join, you were born in.
Amen.
You were born into it. It's even greater than the joining.
Amen.
Amen? And here's the other thing, you always was it. Even though you didn't know it, we'll get that later. Praise God. And therefore has all the benefits of what the union can give him. Of course, what I'm speaking about being in Christ and Christ is you is more high. So you have all the benefits of being in the union. So the union stands for you. The union speaks in your behalf. If it's a job, if it's work, and whatever takes place at that work, if they try to get you to do something in that job that you're not meant to do, if it's not in your contract, you just go and get the union. And the union speaks for you. And the union talks on your behalf. And the union fights your case. Now we're in a union with Christ. You and Christ, Christ in you. So when sickness comes, you're still in a union. Yes. By a stripes you're healed.
Yes.
When someone comes to your home, you're still in a union. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Yes.
He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Yes.
So because of this union, you have a helper all the time. 24/7 you have someone that's with you.
Yes.
Psalms 50 verse 15, God's phone number.
Amen.
Call upon me in a time of trouble and I shall deliver thee.
Yes.
And show thee great and mighty things that thou knewest not of. So you see, God is right at hand. The psalmist David said, we don't go up to bring him down or down to bring him up. He's now in our midst.
Yes.
Now when you take the message Brother Branham preached called God's Chosen Place of Worship, he says, where did God place his name? He said, God placed his name in his Son. So that's God's chosen place of worship. God's chosen place of worship is not a building or some name or denomination. God's chosen place of worship is where he put his name. And he put his name in his Son, Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says, for two or three are gathered together in that name, he is in the midst. Not just in the midst, he is in the midst to bless. So the Lord is in the midst tonight, because we're gathered here tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. God's chosen place of worship.
Amen.
So he's in the midst, and he's in the midst tonight to bless.
Amen.
So you're in a union. You're in Christ, and Christ's in you. You're not just in him, but he's in you.
Amen.
He's living in you. He's moving in you. He inspires you. He leads you. He guides you.
Amen.
Living in you. Moving in you. And you're in him.
Amen.
You're not in Miss Methodist or Miss Baptist or whatever, you know what I'm saying? You're in Christ.
Amen.
You see, it's not a denomination, it's Christ.
Amen.
It's that name that's the power. It's that name that's God's chosen place of worship.
Yes.
And God will meet you in that name.
Yes.
You know, Brother Branham said about all these things that's coming in the earth, he said the lava will push from under the ground and break great holes through the earth, and there'll be earthquakes and all these different things that'll happen. And he says, you know, they're building things in the ground where they can hide, but he says that it won't save them.
Yes.
There's only one place of safety, God's chosen place of worship, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower.
Yes.
The righteous run into it, and they're safe. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, look what it says. Who have saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Given us. Not by works. First of all, it says, not by works. For by grace, Ephesians says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not by works.
Amen.
So you're saved not by works. You're saved by the grace of God. Not only are you saved by the grace of God, he knew you would be saved. He chose you from the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, by the foreknowledge of God, there was a seed within you.
Amen.
Even though you didn't know it, and when the Holy Spirit come upon that seed, it germinized it.
Amen.
It grew, it produced.
Yes.
It did something. But it always was in there. You didn't receive it.
Yes.
It was already in there.
Yes.
Because you were in him.
Amen.
And the life that was in him now manifests in you.
Amen.
So the life that was in him, Romans 8, of the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, dwell in you, it will quicken, make alive your mortal body. It's the same life. Then he says that we're not born again of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. So that seed that was in us, then the Holy Spirit comes upon it, and it comes to life, that's eternal. You can never die. That's part of God. God can't. God's eternal. You're part of God. He's in you. Remember, you're in him.
Amen.
So he's eternal. You're now eternal. Because somebody eternal's within you. You're eternal. You have God's own life in you. The Zoe life of God, the Greek word that the prophet of God used, the Zoe life, is God's own life, God's own spirit in you. The life of God in you. Living in you. Moving in you. Praise God. Verse 10 says, but as now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. The Holy Ghost dwelleth in us. You know, people talk about the Holy Spirit being on them. The anointing can come upon you, but the Holy Spirit's within you. It is within you. Work in the inside, working to the outside. Some brothers even sing about it, you know. It's the Holy Spirit in you, and it can be the Holy Spirit on you, but you need the Holy Spirit within you, born from within.
Yes.
From within,
yes.
Not from without, from within. It's a birth from within, born again of the Spirit of God. And God knows everyone. You know, you could be sitting here tonight. Let me say this. This helped me and another brother at home. This helped them as well. And it's simple, but it's so true. We can be worrying, will our children come? Will this person we love, will they come? But Jesus says, none have I lost.
Yes.
None have I lost that thou hast given me. So everyone that's predestined to come is going to come. Nothing can stop it. Everyone that's going to come will come. Now God inspires us to go and preach and reach him. We believe that. But ultimately it is God is behind it, and God is ultimately in full control, because he assumed full and total responsibility back of the devil at Calvary when he drank the dregs. He drank the dregs. The bitter wine. He drank it. And you know he refused to drink right through the crucifixion. He refused to drink. But at the end he drank the dregs, which is a type of death. And he said, it's finished. The work was completed. The work was done. He abolished death by the sacrifice of himself. And he's your victor. And you're an overcomer. You're not going to be an overcomer. You need to know you're an overcomer now. And listen, when the angel of the Lord came to Gideon, the angel of the Lord met Gideon behind the wine press, and the angel of the Lord didn't say to Gideon, now I'll tell you what, Gideon, here's a few steps, and when you follow these steps up, you will become a mighty man of valor. You don't read that. The angel says to Gideon, thou mighty man of valor, right now. He mightn't have knew it, but he wasn't anyhow.
Yes.
And you might know it, but you're already healed.
Yes.
Praise God, because the word of God says it.
Yes.
It's not a question of making it. None have I lost that thou hast given me.
Yes.
Every single seed that's predestined to go in that rapture is gone.
Yes.
Every predestined seed that's going to be saved is going to be saved. And God knows everyone. Now we try and reach him. We preach the gospel. Because faith cometh by hearing the word of God, and through the foolishness of preaching the cross, it pleased God to save. We do that, but ultimately, God's in control, because it's you in Christ, and Christ in you.
Amen.
Listen to this here from a message called Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy. I think it's paragraph 172. But the real ordained of God, that real gene, that real germ, a soul of God that was in God before the foundation of the world, remember you that's really got the Spirit of God in you tonight. You were here in Christ because he was the fullness of the Word. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Do you believe that? Look, he was in Christ. Then if you were in God, a gene, a word, an attribute from the beginning, then you walked with him here on earth. You talked with him on earth. You suffered with him on earth. You died with him at Calvary. You rose with him. And now you're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, communing with him, the Word. As it feeds into your soul, man shall not live by every word that proceeded bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the God. And Jesus was the Word. And if you're born again of an incorruptible seed by the Word of God, you're part of that Word.
Yes.
If you're part of the Word, there's something within you incorruptible.
Amen.
That's why you will drop this pest house.
Amen.
You will drop this. You bypassed your theophany to get here. We know that. Look, if your body goes to the grave, your body goes to the grave. Your body's in the grave. Your soul goes on to be with the Lord. You have a theophany.
Yes.
When the rapture takes place, Brother Branham says that theophany comes back with Jesus in the air. And the body in the grave comes out and meets to that theophany, and that body's changed to a glorified body.
Amen.
And it meets right there and there. That's how the prophet said it.
Amen.
But you see, whether we die or whether we actually literally see this body change, we're still the Lord's.
Amen.
There's no defeat.
Amen.
It's victory the whole way.
Amen.
You and Christ, Christ and you. If Christ is really in me, you will believe his word. If he's really in you, you will believe the word.
Amen.
You won't need somebody to coax you. There'll be something within you that'll respond to the word of God.
Amen.
When you hear, by his stripes you're healed, you'll believe it.
Yes.
When you hear, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll believe it. When you hear that God will send the spirit of Elijah in these last days, Malachi 4, 5 and 6, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Listen, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord come. That's your tribulation.
Amen.
You'll believe it. You will believe it. Now people, you know there's lots of smart people about the day, isn't there? And they say, well, Brother Branham's name's not in the Bible. But just hold a moment. Jesus said in Matthew 17 verse 11, Jesus said, Elias shall first come and restore all things future. Then he said, Elias has come, but you received him not. Then Jesus said, now Elias, he's referring to John the Baptist, but he's not called Elias, he's called John the Baptist.
Yeah.
His name is John the Baptist.
Amen.
But Jesus is the one that says, if you can receive it, this is him.
Amen.
This is Elias. And his name's William Branham, but if you can receive it, he's the one that's to come at this last age to the Gentiles. His name's William Branham, but he came in the spirit of Elias to turn us back, to bring a total restoration back to the original book, to the original word. And all the things that were, you know, and here and there, they glimpsed at it, but one complete revelation of the mystery of Jesus Christ revealed. It's all Christ, the word. Christ is the word. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14 says, the same became flesh. The same word became flesh. Amen? Now the word's in you tonight, but you're sitting here in flesh. But yet the word's in your flesh. Because you're born again of an incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. We will recognize it to be the word. And when we hear it, because Christ is in us, we're in Christ. See, the Holy Spirit in you will not deny his own word. People say, I've got the Holy Spirit, but they don't believe the word. They don't have the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit cannot deny himself.
Amen.
How can he? You can't say, this is not my hand, this here is your hand. No, this is my hand. I know this is my hand.
Amen.
Amen. I can't deny my own hand.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit will not deny his own word.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Amen.
So because of Christ Jesus, you have sanctification. You have redemption. You have righteousness. You see, this brings you under Romans 4. Romans 4 is the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because in Romans 4 it says that God did not impute to us our sin, but he imputed to us his righteousness. We'd none of our own, but we receive his. He imputes it to us, and he brings Abraham into it. And Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, because he believed God. And when we believe God, we fall under the same category, because we're the royal seed of Abraham.
Amen.
And we come under the righteousness of God. And this righteousness of God was in Christ Jesus. And only in Christ Jesus. He personified righteousness. He personified holiness. And you're sanctified in Him. And you're redeemed in Him. Redeemed means to be bought back. The devil had... Satan's actually a squatter. He's a squatter of this earth, you know that. God made the world. But the devil got in. And you know Brother Branham said when they said crucify Jesus and release Barabbas, he said they exalted Satan to a position he never had before, to the God of this evil age. He said that in a message called The God of This Evil Age. He says it in several places. They exalted him to the God of this evil age. But even though they exalted him to the God of this evil age, even though they did that, Brother Branham's asked the question, has God lost control? And he says no. He said, God's permitting another agency to work to bring about His superior plan. Amen. Then he said, the devil's just a tool in the hand of God. So sometimes circumstances happen to us and we wonder, what would this be for? We can't understand it. But you remember there's an intelligence greater than yours. Amen. That's God's intelligence. Amen. It's like I said the other week, you see, you don't think much, you know, most of us wear a watch. But somebody had an intelligence to make that watch. They had an intelligence that springs go in and wheels go in and certain things go into that watch. And we take it for granted, but we wear the watch. The watch tells the time. But there's an intelligence behind that watch. Amen. And there's an intelligence behind the real believer. There's an intelligence behind this Word of God. Amen. That's the intelligence of God. Amen. That's the most superior intelligence there is. He made the devil. Amen. How big's your devil? F.F. Bosworth said, you know, you can have the big devil as big as you want, or God as big as you want. So I'm going to have the devil small and God very big. Because the Bible says the heavens of heavens can't contain God. It doesn't say that about the devil. It says about the devil, is this the man that made the nations tremble? Is this him? But it says about God, the heavens of heaven can't contain him. The clouds about the dust of his feet. God, what was he before he was God? The self-existing one that dwelt alone with his thoughts. Then he became God when he made the angels to worship him. God is a supernatural being with supernatural ability, with supernatural authority. You're the redeemed of the Lord. There's four things, you know, I say a lot. God is what he says he is. God is what he says he is. God says he's almighty. That's a statement, but it's true. God is almighty. He's above everything. He's almighty God. God is what he says he is, and God can do what he says he can do. Then it comes down to you. Now, there's you and Christ and Christ in you. So God is what he says he is, and God can do what he says he can do. But you are what God says you are. God just said here, you're sanctified. He said here, if you're a real believer, he said you're sanctified. If you're in Christ, you're sanctified. You're redeemed. Amen. You have his righteousness. Amen. That makes you holy. Amen. Oh, but brother, what about this? No, no. God don't look at that. The blood doesn't cover that. It annihilates it. Amen. See, the blood in the New Testament is superior to the blood in the Old Testament. Because the blood in the Old Testament covered sin for a season. But the blood in the New Testament clears the conscience. Amen. And it says, thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more. They're cast away into the sea of God's forgetfulness, so they cannot be brought justly before you, because he's dealt with them. Amen. They're gone. Amen. Washed away. The prophet of God took it like the bleach. Amen. The bleach and the ink. And he said, you know, you get a bucket of bleach, Clorox bleach, and you drop your ink in, and he says the ink is annihilated, it's dispersed, it's gone. The blood of Jesus is the same. It annihilates your sin. It's gone. Amen. Once you're in Christ and Christ in you, it's gone. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You are what God says you are. Amen. You're redeemed. Amen. You're sanctified. Amen. You're righteous. Amen. Now here's another thing. You can do what he says you can do. Amen. What does he say you can do? He says in Philippians, you can do all things. Amen. He says when you pray, Believe.
Amen.
And you can have it.
Amen.
Whatsoever things you desire, brother.
Amen.
What do you desire?
Amen.
Now, you think of this. You see, to get this approach right, this proves what we are really. Now, understand what I'm saying. When Harry Wright was asked this question, you can have anything you want. She could have said, well, I'll have lots of money, but she didn't. She could have said lots of things, but she said the salvation of my two boys. You know the story, you can check this out. Two smart fellas went to find them two boys. But they were looking for two rights, but they weren't called rights. Brother Branham was calling her by her name since she was a young girl, but she was married, she was no longer right. But he called her right. God's prophets don't make mistakes. I hear people saying, Brother Branham made a mistake here and a mistake here. For me, I don't believe God's prophets make mistakes. Even in the Bible, when Isaiah lay on his side and dung and all these different things, it was for something. It was for something. It was for a reason. Do you believe that tonight? God don't make mistakes. Sure he doesn't. Amen. Jesus Christ has paid the price for us to bring us back. Redemption means to buy back, to redeem. The enemy wants to turn people away from the simplicity of Christ. He wants to turn you away. He wants to explain your healing away. He wants to explain away from you that you're not righteous. He wants to give you a whole big circumstances. But the Word of God blows it away. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says, but I fear, lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through a subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said, stay behind the Word of God.
Amen.
That's simple, but yet people don't do it.
Amen.
Isn't it true with all of us, when things happen, we ring everybody, but we don't pray?
Amen.
Everybody knows about it. The phone goes. Everybody today has to have a phone. You know, it really amazes me at times. You know, you see a woman, she's out walking her dog, and she's on the phone. A young fella, he's going on the phone. Everybody's on the phone. Do you know what it is? See, we're made to be people that's in fellowship. The devil hijacked it. He's hijacked it. Isn't it the truth? Now, phones are good. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a phone. I've got a phone. It's good to have phones. They're good. But you see, if you can type that communication with the Lord, that we're to be in fellowship with the Lord. So when things arise, we're to call upon the Lord.
Amen.
We're to tell the Lord about it. We're to pray about it. Listen to this. It's a message called The North at Not, preached in 1965, paragraph 216. Many think because they speak with tongues, they've got the Holy Ghost. That don't mean that. That don't mean that, though. The Holy Ghost does speak with tongues. But until the real, genuine Holy Spirit in there will cope with every word. If the Holy Spirit knew that makes you speak with tongues, looks back there, and doesn't agree with the rest of the word, then it's the wrong spirit, see. Because if it's really Christ in you, if Christ's really in you, what's the evidence of the Holy Spirit? Believe in the message, but what else does it say? The life of Christ manifesting in you, living in you. The life of Christ, what fruit are you bearing? That life. And if Christ's really in you, remember Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, John 1 verse 1. You will believe the Word of God. Listen what he says. 217, paragraph 217. It's got to come from the inside. So we can clean people, we can get them all fixed up, but if there's nothing inside, you'll never keep them.
Amen.
They'll go out quicker than they come in. But if somebody can be the filthiest thing, the roughest thing, and the deeper sin than you could ever imagine, but if there's a seed in there, God will bring them out of it. It won't be difficult to do it. God will do it.
Amen.
If the seed's in there. Because it has to be determined from the beginning that they are predestined. And only God knows that.
Amen.
But God does know it. Amen. In the beginning of the creation of God, when God began to create, bring you into existence, you see. You started back there as a seed. And worked down to where you are now. And then you were all in Christ. And then when Christ died, he died to redeem all of you. And you're part of this word. And how can the Bible say precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, not one jot or tittle shall fail? How in the world can you, being part of the word, disagree with the rest of it? Or any part of it? You cannot disagree with the word of God if you're part of it.
Amen.
If the word's in you, if you're born again in the Spirit of God, the seed's in you already.
Amen.
That life. You see, Christ was that seed which fell in the ground. And what happened? It says he's the first fruits of the resurrection. He was that grain of wheat that was bruised. It must be bruised. It must die. It says in the New Testament that the testament is without effect except to be the death of the testator. But Christ was the one that died. And he made it effective. So now this word's effective. And when you really are the seed of God, and when you're born again in the Spirit of God, you will respond to the word.
Amen.
You can't help it.
Amen.
You know, you always were an eagle.
Amen.
Let me get that in a moment. God was manifested in Christ to destroy the works of the devil. He came down to redeem us, to clean us, so that we could have the true fellowship of God. God loves fellowship. You see, but the devil wants to hijack the fellowship. You just think of it tonight, you know, husband and wife. If the brother loves his wife and the wife loves the husband and they're never in fellowship, and she catches him, he's always talking to somebody else, or she's always, something's wrong there, brother. That's going to cause problems. He's showing his love to another. And the Lord wants us to be in fellowship with him. He wants us to be in communion with him. He wants to be praying and reading, listening to the word God sent, the voice. Why would God send a voice? You don't need to hear a voice. Did God make a mistake? No, he didn't. He sent a voice so we could hear the voice. Amen. But we must hear it. We must believe it. We must be in constant fellowship. We are to believe every word of God. The bride was represented in Christ, even at Calvary, just like Eve was in Adam. The two became one. And you know that when God made them, it starts out God made them male and female, both. But you're just looking at Adam. But yet God made them male and female because Eve was in Adam. Adam didn't even know it, but she was in him. Then later on, you see, he needed a helpmate and so forth. And God caused a sleep to come upon Adam. And he took the woman from the man. She's a byproduct of the man. Because she came out from the man. Amen. But she was actually in there from the start. So God separates them. Then he brings her to the man. And they become together and they become one. And you know how the serpent got in there to destroy that union. He got in there. And he tried to sow another seed. And he does the same today. He tries to get in between the true bride. To sow another seed. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
The natural, the spiritual. And you see, we were in Christ. And when the spear pierced the side of the cross, we were redeemed from his side. We come out from him. But we were always in him. We're part of him. We're to go back to what we were. This whole thing's all what Adam lost, Christ restored.
Amen.
As we bear the image of the earthly, that's Adam, we shall bear the image of the heavenly.
Amen.
Adam came from the earth, he's earthly. Jesus Christ came from heaven, he's heavenly.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So we have borne the image of the earthly, but we shall bear the image of the heavenly.
Amen.
Because that seed's in us.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
John 14 verse 20 says, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Ye in me, and I in you. So you're in Christ, and Christ in you. That means you're in a union.
Amen.
You have somebody representing you more than you'll ever know. I don't think the devil doesn't want us to fully realize who's with us. The Lord's with us.
Amen.
The Lord is with His people. People say, oh, the Lord's forsake. God, how can, if the Lord's in you, and that life's in you, and then you go over into Ephesians and say you're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption, the Lord's in you. And you know the story where the man said, look, he said, you know, there was two sets of footprints, you know, and then the times got difficult, and they became one set. And he said, that's when you left me. And the Lord said, no, that's when I carried you. He was always with him. And you know, Brother Branham, the man was confused. He came to the prophet. He sat him down. You know how he could tell your whole life? That's unique. I believe that's unique to God's prophet. I believe that. But he took him right back. And he said, brother, you read a track. You received the Lord then. He's never left you. And he took him right back. What was that? He took him back to the tie post. He took him back to the meeting place. Back to Christ. To where he met with the Lord. And he said that was it there. And he took him right back to there. And many times we could feel the Lord's left us, you know. And the Lord's not with us. But the Lord is with you. The Lord loves you. He says He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Though I'm with you always, even to the end. Brother Branham quotes and quotes and quotes. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me. For I shall be with you, even in you.
Amen.
To the end. What's he saying in the rapture message? To the consummation. Then he says, that's when the righteous step out in the ashes. That's after the rapture goes, everything, we come back king and queen. And God's going to burn this earth with fire. And we're going to step out in the ashes. That's the way he says it.
Amen.
So he's with us. He doesn't leave us. He's in us. We're in him. He's our representative. We're in a union. You think of it. He's our representative.
Amen.
He's never lost a case.
Amen.
He's on your case tonight.
Amen.
When will the Lord hear me? Before you pray, God will answer you.
Amen.
The Lord knows before you even pray.
Amen.
Amen. Didn't the Lord say to Peter, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren? He never lost faith in it. You know, he denied everything. But the Lord had prayed for him.
Yes.
That your faith fail not. He needed a conversion, we know that. But there was something already in there that the Lord knew. He knew he'd fail, he knew he'd make the mistakes. But he also knew there was something in there. There was a seed in Peter. And then here it is. That your faith fail not. I have prayed for you.
Yes.
I have prayed for you that your faith fail not.
Amen.
Amen. And he prayed for Peter. And then this same Peter gets up on the day of Pentecost and preaches a real bold message. The power of God falls.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost comes.
Amen.
The same man. Because the Lord knew. He knew you from the foundation of the world. He chose you. You're engraved upon the palms of his hand. He's good thoughts for you. The Lord has good thoughts for you tonight.
Amen.
The devil's thoughts of death and all that stuff, but the Lord's thoughts of life and blessing, God's good thoughts for you.
Amen.
See, when Christ is in you, we have hope, the hope of glory. Benefactors with Him in the resurrection. See, God promised what He would do in Christ. God proved that on the resurrection morning. He proved already what He would do in Christ. He proved what He did in Christ. Christ through the wheat went into the ground and died. God raised him from the dead.
Amen.
Now here's another picture. What will he do in you?
Amen.
He said what he's going to do in you. He said what he would do for Christ. He did it. And you're part of the word now. Christ in you. You know the hope of glory.
Amen.
You in Christ. So he's coming for you. You're leaving here. You're getting out of here. All the things that we count to be so important. What are they going to mean when God actually does change us and we go? We won't leave it all behind. We won't leave it. We're getting tucked from it. We're getting lifted out of here. We're gone. Amen. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Brother Branham said, when you see your loved one step in, you know it's on. And you know when Jesus Christ rose, the Bible said the Old Testament saints rose with him. They knew it was on. I believe personally myself 40 days. Why I believe it? Because Jesus was around for 40 days.
Amen.
After he rose, 40 days. Then he went. Amen. And we know that something has to take place. There's so many prophecies that's been given. There's so many things that's been spoken. Now you say, but the word could fall to the ground. I don't believe that. Because the word of God says not one word of Samuel fell. Not one word fell. But I'll say, like Mary, be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So we know something's to take place. We can't maybe fully explain it. But within us, we know there's a pull within.
Yes.
A deep calling to the deep. There's something has to happen. And there's something going to take place.
Amen.
And God is going to do something mighty. And we're going to go.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, limbs will be created.
Yes.
Spoken on arms, legs, spoken on.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is the faith. You won't have to try and produce it. God will just give you it.
Amen.
You see, even in the prophet's ministry, when them pools come up, he didn't have to try and... God just brought him into it.
Yes.
It was all God.
Amen.
You just yield to it.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Let me read you this. It is the rising of the sun. Paragraph 62. He's quoting Hebrews 13 verse 8. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. We, his benefactors, are to prove his life in us now. The benefactors of this life, the life, there never was a life lived like it. He was a son of God. He died, excuse me, and that shut it out. But when he raised again from the dead on Easter morning, then we as his servants are commissioned by him to go into all the world and to bring this good news to every person that he is a living. And how can we do it? By the word only. For it is written, the gospel came not by word only, but through the power and manifestation of the Holy Spirit to prove that he is alive.
Amen.
So God was not only just a word in word, but the power is with the word.
Yes.
There has to be a dynamics come on the mechanics.
Yes.
The dynamics coming on the mechanics. And you know, it's the Holy Spirit. You know, listen, you know, with traveling, you see, a lot of people come for the Holy Spirit, and then you think they don't receive it, and there's different things. You see, many people are looking for different manifestations and things. But you know, Brother Branham said to the man one day, he said, brother, you see, when that, there's a feeling comes over you when you're praying and everything, and you're out walking and everything. He says, isn't that right, brother? And the brother said, yes. Yes, brother. And he says, that's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit's already upon you. He says, just yield to it.
Amen.
Just yield yourself to it.
Amen.
Just yield to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And you see, there's one baptism. There's many fillings, but there's one baptism.
Amen.
And we need can be refilled, but we're baptized into the body once.
Yes.
Baptized by one Spirit into one body. You know, the message called the rapture. Brother Branham says, how can I, what have I to do to be bride? And he quotes 1 Corinthians 13. For by one Spirit are you baptized into one body.
Amen.
And if you're baptized into that body, that puts you in. Nobody can take you out.
Amen.
You're in.
Amen.
Are you glad you're in?
Amen.
Now you have to know you're in.
Amen.
It's all right for me and Brother Andrew to know we're in. We can say we're in, but you know you're in.
Amen.
You have to have it yourself.
Amen.
The revelation you're in. Praise God, and I believe you are in.
Amen.
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 Listen to this, let me read you a bit more. Paragraph 73. On Easter morning, not only did he raise, but his benefactors raised with him. They were in Christ at his crucifixion. They were in him at his resurrection. We are his beneficiaries, quickened after being dead in darkness. He's quoting Ephesians. The darkened world of unbelief, where churches, denominations, and so forth had drawn us out. And there's something in us calling us. Oh, we want God. We are hungry and thirsting for God. We joined the Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, whatever more. And still there was something wrong. We just couldn't find it yet. And all of a sudden, while we were groping in darkness, the great resurrection came to us in the manifestation of the promised word of God. Back to the word. The promised word of God.
Amen.
Now God's definitely given us a word. We cannot deny what God's done in our day. If we do, we're liars. I'll say it, that's the truth. It's not even in us if we deny it. We definitely won't have the Holy Spirit. I cannot believe someone will have it and deny it. How can they deny what God has done so openly? Many manifestations. Then they say, well, we believe back here yonder, but what about now? What's God doing now? God's working in you right now. God has given us a word. Praise God. This is not any word. This is a word from God. A love letter. Amen. A love letter. We've been given a word. We are prepared tonight for the coming of the Lord. There's something I believe stirring. Look, people are so negative. Oh, this church is breaking. There's this happening. And, you know, they go on to all this here and this there and this yonder. Here's what I believe. I believe God's shaking. But I believe in the midst of all the shaking, there's a genuine coming forth because God is going to manifest. Amen. And something has to take place according to what the prophet said. Amen. There has to be something take place. And we need to be positive. Yes. Have a positive testimony. Amen. And we need to follow on with the Lord. We need to be faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to stick with it. Hold on to the rope. Amen. Praise God. Melchizedek met Abraham. He told him of the promised son coming. And it was evening time. We know that. Evening time. Now there's three came to Abraham. Two of them went on down to Sodom and Gomorrah. But one stayed with Abraham. Melchizedek. God in a theophonic form. He stands with Abraham. Abraham communes with him. He talks with him. He shows him the word. He shows a word into Abraham. Are you hearing me? He speaks a word. When he speaks a word, it's a word sown. Amen. He sows a word into them. He speaks it into them. He says, my words are spirit and life. Amen. So he sows a word by speaking it. If the word's spoken over you, it's sown into you. Amen. But the enemy wants to steal it as it's been sown. There's two sowers, you remember. So Abraham receives a word, but Abraham doesn't let the devil steal it. Even when his wife laughs, and even when she says, can I apply to my Lord? It makes no difference. God has met with Abraham. He's told Abraham, you will have seed by Sarah, children by Sarah. The promised son Isaac was going to come. So 26 years before Isaac appears, he receives the word. So now Abraham has got the word. He's professing it. He's believing it. There's absolutely nothing taking place. Everybody's saying, where's the move of God? But Abraham believed God. Amen. But when the right time came, the transforming power of God came upon Sarah and came upon Abraham. And God changed him back to meet that word. So that word could take place. And Isaac was born and the promised son came. And we know the same type today. Now look, we have Saul appearing of the Lord. There's no question about it. Amen. You'll not change me from it. I don't care what people say. I believe it. Amen. I believe that God's came on the scene. I believe we have Saul super sign. Yes. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. And I believe we've received a promised word. Amen. That the Son's coming. Amen. Amen. And you know the appearing of Christ foreruns the second coming of Christ. Yes. Amen. The appearing foreruns the second coming. Amen. And we have saw an appearing. We're waiting on the second coming of Christ. Amen. But we have to have a body change. Yes. And we're going to have it. Just like Abraham, amen, Isaac was born. Amen. Jesus is really going to physically come. Amen. We're not meeting Jesus down here. We're meeting him up on the earth. Amen. You see, when he comes actually on the earth, we're with him. Amen. Do you realize? When people talk about the Lord coming on the earth, we're with them. Amen. Because this is a secret rapture. Amen. This is only to the bride. Amen. Brother Branham says the church goes through the tribulation, but not the bride. Didn't he say that? Amen. He says it's an elect group. Amen. He types it to the seed. Now, I don't want to say too much, but you can know what I'm saying. Thousands cast off and one lives. But yet there's millions of seed. But only one's predestined. Amen. And he says, one in a million. And there is an escaped bride, a called out bride. You see, because there was five wise, five foolish. The oil of both lamps, both virgins. But only five had the oil. And the lamps were trimmed. Now here's the thing. The lamps were trimmed, polished. No black in the glass, polished. And oil in. And while the rest went to get oil, them five went in, the door was closed. The others were refused. And we will, there's going to be a rapture. We're going to be caught up, meet the Lord in the air, have the body change. We will go to be with the Lord 3.5 years. Now you know the sacrifice is cut off in the midst of the week. And Jesus fulfilled the first 3.5 years, his ministry, 3.5 years. The sacrifice is cut off in the midst of the week. It leaves 3.5 years after the bride goes. Then the tribulation sets in. And we come back, king and queen. That's when Jesus stands on the Mount of Olives. And we're with him, king and queen. Amen. Brothers, look, what we have here, this is just a training ground for where we're going. Amen. There's wonderful things ahead. That's why the devil doesn't want you to follow on. Amen. He's afraid. Praise God. Amen. You can put up 1 Thessalonians 4:16. You read it. I'll read this quote and then I'm going to have to close. My brother, I've kept you late tonight. What time is it, brother? Praise God. You enjoying the Lord?
Amen.
It's easy for me to preach here because you pull, you say. And I mean that, you know. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And that word can mean thrust up. Together with them in the clouds. Now remember in Acts, it says, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus you have seen go, how did he go up? In the clouds. And the angels went up. He will come and so like my... Listen. I haven't it here tonight. But you know the message called the flashing red light of his coming. Amen. Brother Branham says in that message, he said the angels will sweep down and pick you up.
Amen.
That's what he says. And this here says, look what it says here. Caught up together with them in the clouds. And in Acts, them clouds are angels. And in a flashing red light of his coming, Brother Branham says the angels will sweep down and pick you up. We're going to be taken. You ever hear of a movie called Taken? Well, we're going to be taken. The Lord is going to take us. You won't have to fly out of here. The Lord's taking you.
Amen.
You're going to be changed. And you're going to be taken. Now you remember... You remember, when your body's changed, you're not like you are now.
Amen.
You can travel like a thought.
Amen.
I have not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him, who are the called according to his promise.
Amen.
We can't even begin to imagine these things.
Amen.
Now we know that God's prophet crossed over while he was on earth. Beyond the curtain of time. And he saw things. And he said, we are turned back to young men and women. Brother, I'm getting my hair back. I don't know where it is. But I'm getting it back. I can't wait. Praise God. But God's going to change us. Young men and women. You know, we buried my grandmother just the other week. 97 years of age. I preached in a schoolhouse in 94. She was 75. I preached on the truth on water baptism. The way Brother Branham showed us from the Bible, from Acts 2:38. There was a voice spoke to me in the pulpit and said, they'll never come back after tonight. Right while I was preaching, the voice said it. I said back in myself to that voice, well, I'll give them the full works tonight. I'm going to preach it if nobody comes. I'll still believe it. And I baptized 14 people after that service. The devil's a liar. My grandmother was 75. My grandfather was 77. And I baptized the both of them in the name of Jesus Christ. We buried her just the other week. And just before I went away, I went to see her. I says, "Grandmother, you trusting in the Lord?" She says, "The Lord's the only hope." She believed as much as what she needed to see. She believed Brother Branham was God's prophet. She had the books and everything. And God brought her in, and my grandfather as well. Now you have to understand, my grandfather, 77. And we buried her the other week. She was 97 years old. And I thought, you know, Brother Branham says they're close to you. Don't contact them. They're near. But they're young men and women. And if we could only see the glory that awaits us. When the prophet's wife came back, you know what I'm talking about. And she said, "You have no idea what you're preaching. You do not understand fully how wonderful it is." And you know what he said? He thought about it. And God permitted him to go over. Beyond the curtain of time. And he said, tells he's laying in his bed. And he came out of his body. And he saw them there. And he said, an old woman, she was an old woman when he led her to the Lord. She threw his arms around him and he says, "You remember, there's sensation here. You can't do that here. But over there, it's gone." Amen? Amen. And she says, "Do you not recognize me, Brother Brandon?" He said, "No." He said, "I was an old, you led me to the Lord." 90 years of age, was it? I tell you, the Lord's wonderful. Amen. Brother, we're getting out of here. Let me read you this. Who is this Melchizedek? We meet Jesus in the air before we get home. That's right. He quotes 2 Thessalonians. A beautiful type of Rebecca meeting Isaac in the field. In the cool of the day, we meet him in the air. 2 Thessalonians tells us so. "For we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep, for the trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air." Perfect, all these types. Therefore the theophany, if you have died and entered into that theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. Amen? Amen? So you really can get the picture now. What we bypassed because of the fall, we're coming back with it. Isn't that wonderful? This is real restoration. It's more than just some words. It's substance. It's a substance. It is a word, but that word becomes a substance. God gave Abraham a word, but that word became Isaac. A substance. A manifestation. Amen. Amen. Manifestation is interpretation. Amen. Amen. The theophany comes to the earth and picks up the redeemed body. And if you're here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany. There you are and call up and go to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'll tell you, the Lord's coming for you. Amen. Now he's here. He's in you tonight. The Holy Spirit is here. We're living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And we're living in a dispensation when God has tied every loose end together and brought us one complete revelation of the mystery of Jesus Christ revealed. You in Christ, Christ in you. Where is he's in you? There's a song that a woman, I can't remember her name, but it's a worldly song, but she used to sing this song, "Search for the Hero Inside Yourself." How many ever heard that song? She was an African lady, quite a singer. I can't just remember her name, but she used to sing this song, "Search for the Hero Inside Yourself." You actually have a hero inside you tonight, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Conqueror. Let's stand our feet tonight. Maybe the musicians come. I just want to pray for you and then the pastor's going to come. I appreciate your listening. I'm not sure what what time I started or anything. Praise God. Amen. Ain't the Lord wonderful?
Amen.
Let's believe God tonight. Amen. If you need a touch from the Lord, the word's been spoken. Amen. God can touch you. Amen. Even without hands laid upon you, God can touch you.
Amen.
He spoke to Abraham. There was a manifestation. Abraham believed it. Abraham didn't go about, you don't read that Abraham went about and said, well, this can never happen. The Bible says Abraham believed God. Believe tonight. You believe God tonight.
Amen.
Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Amen.
You would say, listen, if there's somebody in this service, maybe you're a young person, you're not saved. You don't have Christ in you. And you want Christ in you tonight. Will you lift your hand up to the Lord? If you would say, I want Christ in me tonight, God bless you, son. Praise God. I want you to pray just for you are. You just pray. And you just say, Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you now. Come into my life. You pray it. Pray these words I'm telling you tonight. Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you now to come into my life. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I confess you in my mouth. I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead.
Amen.
Now, Lord, seal me with your Holy Spirit. Let your life manifest through me. Let it live in me. As I receive you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. If you have prayed it, you believe it. Now listen, every eye closed. If you need healing tonight, whether it's your back, your, you know, wherever you're suffering, put your hand upon your condition. Lay your hand upon your condition. Jesus Christ, listen. When you study the vinegar at Calvary, it was a narcotic. It was a painkiller. But Christ refused it so that he could feel all the pangs and agonies that you would go through. He's your high priest tonight. He's touched by the feeling of your infirmities. He is your Savior healer. He's your healer tonight. You believe as I pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that you've never failed. But you truly are the same yesterday, today and forever. Father, you see where the hands is laid upon the condition tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that you will heal that brother, that you will heal that sister,
amen,
that you will heal that boy and heal that girl. In the name of Jesus Christ, every single person in this room, may they be healed by the power of God tonight in Jesus Christ's name. For those of you listening, touch them if they need your touch tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, I bless this people. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak your blessing upon them. In Jesus' precious name. I bless the pastor in Jesus' name. I speak health over him. I speak blessing over him. I speak prosperity over him. Oh God, that you give him the very desires of his heart. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, for this fellowship, Lord, that you bring the substance, even that they'll have the building that they've decided to have. Lord, I ask and speak it in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, there's nothing impossible to you. You are Almighty God. We believe you tonight. Forgive us our unbelief. Father, bless your people, I pray. Lord, as we go our separate ways, may the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit be upon your people in the days, the weeks, the months that lay ahead. May you visit your people in healing and manifestations of your word manifesting upon us, in us, revelatory faith, oh God, stimulating faith, real revelation from you. That will stimulate us, O Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Father, I ask it now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one as the pastor comes. God bless you.
Praise awaits you, Lord. Praise awaits you in Zion, oh Lord. To you our vows will all be fulfilled. Praise awaits you in Zion, oh Lord. Praise awaits you, Lord. Praise awaits you in Zion, oh Lord. Praise awaits you, Lord. Praise awaits you in Zion, oh Lord. To you our vows will all be fulfilled. Praise awaits you in Zion, oh. So we lift his name, so we lift the name of Jesus all the way. Messiah, Prince of Peace, the Lord, the way is the way, and our love will grow stronger. So we lift him higher tonight. So we lift the name of Jesus for the way. Messiah, Prince of Peace, the Lord of will. And our love will grow stronger. Praise awaits you tonight, Lord. Praise awaits you in Zion, oh Lord. Praise awaits you, Jesus. Praise awaits you in Zion, oh Lord. To you our vows will all be fulfilled. Oh Lord, you hear our prayers. Oh Lord, you hear our. Oh Lord, you listen. Oh Lord, you listen to our cries. To you, all our men will directly. So we lift his name, so we lift the name of Jesus for the way. Messiah, Prince of Peace, the Lord of will is the Lord, and our love will grow stronger.
Word is sweet.
Amen.
The testimonies of the Lord.
Amen.
The word is sweet. It really is a sweet thing. We really thank the Lord for his word. Brother Tom really got into some good stuff. It's a pity he finished when he did. It was really good, bro. We really do appreciate it, bro. You can never, ever get used to those things. But the promises pertaining to us ourselves. There's nothing better than laying in his presence and just allowing the Lord to bathe down once again what he says about us, what he says he is doing and is going to do. You can never be persuaded enough of his promises. We really do appreciate it. Thank you, bro, for the word. Let's sing one more. We asked Brother Sam, maybe you could close for us in a word of prayer, bro. Let's sing one more there, bro. George, if you've got one, bro.
But that's one. The Holy Spirit.
I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you, O King. I enter to honor I am. O Lord, Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Lord, we worship you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you. For your name is holy. For your name is holy. Holy God, for your name is holy. For your name is holy. Lord, you are holy. Holy, holy God. For your name is holy.
For your name is holy.
Holy, holy.
Tonight I enter the holiness of holies.
I enter in, I enter through the blood of the Lamb.
I enter
to worship you, to worship you, Lord. I enter.
Presence is here among us, Lord. Lord, we want to be soaked in it, Lord Jesus. Oh, holy, holy God. We thank you, Lord, what we have tonight, Lord Jesus. Do we not feel like the two that walk on the road of my yes, Lord Jesus? That our hearts was pricked tonight, Lord, by thy word, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, how you opened our eyes, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you showed us things through the scriptures and through what the prophet has taught us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're approaching that time, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The end, Lord, is almost at hand, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you showed us the way to go. Lord, you showed our prophet, Lord Jesus, our vented prophet, Lord Jesus, what's on the other side, Lord Jesus. That's our goal, Lord, as a Christian, Lord Jesus. To look forward to that, to see our loved ones, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord, that there is a God in heaven. Amen. We thank you that there is a Holy Spirit that come and quicken our souls, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you thanks in everything that you've given us, Lord Jesus. Lord, as we bow our heads tonight, Lord, this time, Lord Jesus, as our hearts, Lord, will steep down unto you, Lord Jesus. We give you thanks for everything you have given us, Lord. We bless, Lord, thou, thy meeting tonight, Lord, and thy holy presence, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord God Almighty, I was lifted up, Lord, with thy spirit, Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ Almighty. Father God Almighty, we think that as ministers that can come behind a pulpit and preach the word to us, Lord Jesus. We ask that you bless the congregation here, Lord Jesus. We ask that you bless the deacons, the ministers, Lord Jesus Christ. And you bless their wives and their children, Lord. May you prosper each and every one of us, Lord, this coming year, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In health and in strength and filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. That is our main goal, Lord, for the new year, Lord, to prosper into you, Lord, in you, Lord Jesus Christ. To give us health and strength for our families, to pray for one another, Lord Jesus. To pray for the ministers that do stand behind the pulpit, Lord Jesus Christ. To pray for each and every one of us. Lord, we ask that you give us mercies as we walked home, as we drive home tonight, Lord
Amen.
Jesus. We all go to different homes, Lord Jesus. We ask that you bless the different homes here tonight. We ask that you bless the husbands, the wives, the children, Lord Jesus. We commit this day, this hour, this evening. Everything's unto you. We commit ourselves unto you, Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to you, Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty. You died for us, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, you showed us how much that we belong to you by your shedding your blood, Lord Jesus. Lord, that died on that cross for us, Lord Jesus. We give you thanks for thy holy presence, Lord. Lord God Almighty, we don't want to stop talking about you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus Christ Almighty. We love the things that you've done, the things that you've given us, Lord. Lord, we can look back the whole year. What precious things that you've given us, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Almighty, commit this day, this evening unto you once again, Lord. Remember us, our own meetings tomorrow night, Lord Jesus. We ask that you bless the minister behind the pulpit, Lord Jesus. Bless the congregations that will be there, Lord Jesus. That anointing of the Holy Spirit will be with us, Lord, each and every one. Bless the Lord, each and every one. Bless the rest of the meetings that's coming up in the rest of the year, Lord Jesus Christ. We commit them, Lord, everything unto you. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
I'm just thinking of that song that Sister sings from Trinidad. Can you hear your theophany calling you?
Amen.
Yeah. It's wonderful, saints. When there's something that really comes and ministers to your soul, that there's some things that can excite him. We like those things. There's some
Amen.
Things that can do different things, but there's something sweet when it comes within the veil.
Amen.
And something that really comes to settle down, like Brother Sam was praying there. And the brother sings, Brother Ulrich Andrews, about things that are to be. He says, the
Amen.
Things that are to be, we feel them here now in our midst. It's the earthly and the heavenly uniting.
Amen.
There's that uniting, the dimensions are merging together. It's like a foretaste of things that are to be. Our friends, then we have to go back out there again. Back into
Amen.
The struggles of life once again. Wouldn't it be nice, like Peter said, we could make three tabernacles and just stay with him here. But you got to, life has to continue on. So we really appreciate
Amen.
The Lord for his goodness. Let's sing one more, Brother George. Let's sing, He's Coming Soon. He's Coming Soon. In these, the closing days of time.
Amen.
And may the Lord bless you. Let's meet Sunday morning. We've got our normal service Sunday morning. Meet the saints then. To the saints traveling, may the Lord grant you traveling mercies. In Jesus'
name. The closing day of time. Oh, what joy, the glorious hope of old. And so no wondrous truths are sublime. He shall.
Once more. Oh.
Let's really finish with this one now. One of them. Aren't you glad this evening you're one of them? Friends, we could be out there like we used to be. Like Brother Tom was saying, we could have been going out looking forward to Christmas time in the pub. Christmas time when you don't even remember after the weekend what you were up to. But friends, we can come into His presence. We can feast at His table. We can dine as His guests. We should be glad to say, I'm one of them. One of them.
One of them. I'm so glad that I can see I'm one of them. One of them. Hallelujah, I'm one of them. I'm so glad.
Shut up.